Well, we'd like to welcome everybody to the Music and Ministry Podcast. I am your host, Stephen Reed, and we are so glad that you joined us today. We're going to talk today about something that is near and dear to my heart, especially in the light of current trends in the worship community, and that is the subject of discipleship. In this episode, we're going to specifically focus on how do you recruit quality people onto your team. And I know not everybody is dealing with the same issues, but many churches and ministries either don't have enough people, or what can sometimes even be worse is that you have the wrong people. Now, none of these situations are in any way pleasant, but what can actually make matters worse is that many leaders are finding ways to get around the need to be good at this skill of finding, recruiting, and training the right people to do what the Bible calls making disciples. Now, this trend of finding ways around the problem is part of the reason why we are not big fans of using multitracks for your worship team. Because while they are intended to help you have a better sound by filling in instruments and people that you don't have, the unintended side effect is that it actually doesn't help you fix the reason that you have the problem. It replaces people instead of teaching you how to get people. So over time, your recruiting skills don't actually get better, but because of non-use or development, they actually atrophy. So I know that might be a little hard to hear if you're a big lover of multitracks, but I want to offer you some solutions that will actually fix the problem and not just cover it. So step one is you got to know your vision. And we cover that a lot around here, but it's important that you know where you're going so you can get the right people on board. Now, each church is going to be a little bit different, or in some cases, a lot different. You know, a few churches we have been to, they really saw the worship team as musicians rehab. So they actually wanted the people that played in the bars last night that might be a little bit hungover. Why? Because it puts them in church and it was their way and their vision to minister to those people. So that may seem a little extreme, but that was their vision, and so that's how they roll. For myself, I want people on a team that are going to be part of the church. That if they were not on the team, that they would actually still be coming. Now, that may not be important to you, but I've seen too many people who attend a worship team and not a church. And as soon as they're not playing or singing as much as they think they should, then they're gone. And so at a very core level, I want people who are with me, who are running in the same direction. And that's partly from experience of seeing what it's like to have people on the team who are not really with you, and mostly based on how we view the role of worship team in a church. We see it that you are here to serve the church, to minister to them. So I need people that will help me as a primary requirement. And in return, I will be helping them and discipling them. But that's the secondary thing. Now, that doesn't require that I find perfect people, but it does mean that I am looking for somebody who is willing to serve. And people who are involved to be noticed or to fulfill some musical desire will be constantly pulling in another direction and will probably be frustrated by my leadership. So the next step, and I know it's going to be a little different, but it's to not be desperate. Because desperate people do desperate things. And in a perceived need to add people, you might actually take whoever comes to you. And even sometimes you'll do that against your better judgment. We've even been to some churches where a member of the team, many times the sound person, sadly, is the rudest and most controlling person I have really ever met, let alone met in a church. And everyone knows it. The team knows it. And even the pastor knows it. And when I ask them, why is that person there? They usually say something like this: well, he's the only sound person we have, and so we need him. We have to have him. Well, let me first say, that is not the truth. The truth is that you do not need him. You don't really need anyone. Jesus didn't have a sound person. He didn't have a microphone. He didn't even have a worship team. And thousands upon thousands of churches across the world, even today, don't have a soundboard, don't have a sound team, and yet they're able to minister effectively. Now, you can also run the soundboard yourself, but that really defeats the point of what we're talking about here, which is learning how to get people involved. But my point here is, don't let some artificial need drive you to make bad decisions. You don't have to have every part covered each week. You don't have to have a drummer and an electric guitar player. Jesus can still show up and your ministry can still be effective. You know, it's also worth noting that sometimes you're not getting the right people involved because the wrong people are. And in the cases I just mentioned, where the sound people were being very detrimental to the life of the church, we were able to help these churches remove the wrong person and then train new people. And each time we did this, we found great people who were already in their church. And they weren't even involved, mostly because the person that was involved was not very nice. So get the desperation out of your mind and get it out of your voice, because it attracts the wrong kind of people. And really in church, there's kind of three ways that you can categorize most people: sheep, goats, and wolves. The sheep, they need a shepherd, which is what the word pastor actually means. It means shepherd. And these are the people that can be led, but will pretty much just go wherever they want if they're not led. Goats, by contrast, are stubborn and are not going anywhere unless you make them, usually with a lot of effort, do something. And then wolves are not like sheep or goats. They're actually there to harm. And part of our job as pastors is to know the difference between these three and then treat them accordingly. And while that may seem a little harsh, and while many of you right now are going through in your mind the Rolodex of your people and thinking, are they a sheep? Are they a goat? Are they a wolf? What you do need to know is that sadly, there are a group of people that will go from church to church to church looking for where they can do whatever they want to, looking for weakness in leadership. Unfortunately, you have to deal with these people and have methods to keep them out of where they should not be. And I have personally made this mistake and have let some people on my team that should not have been, and then it just never ends well. The temptation for us as pastors is we think, well, maybe I can change that wolf into a sheep. And we have to look to the Word and see that Jesus even chased some people off. And we can't get in our minds and think, well, if I do give him a chance, maybe I can do better than Jesus. So then on a very practical level, I would encourage you not to advertise that you need help. To begin with, it rarely works. And then again, it doesn't attract the right kind of people. So no announcements, no bulletins, no sign-up sheets. And I know that may seem a little crazy, but in all my years of worship ministry, I don't know that we've ever found any of our great people that way. The way that we have found great people, the ones that have stuck with us and have been willing to grow under our leadership, was by us finding them. So how do you do that? Well, we would pray and ask God to help us find the people that we needed. Then by being as led of God as we knew how, we would ask around if anyone knew someone who played the guitar or was interested in sound or did whatever it was that we were looking for. And even if the people that we asked didn't play or do that thing themselves, they almost always would refer us to someone. And then surprisingly, it was almost always somebody that we didn't even know played or did that thing. So we would then pray about asking them if they were interested and would then begin our process of getting people on board. We used to call that our assimilation process, but now the business buzzword is onboarding. Also, many of the ones that turned out to be our best people were the ones that we trained ourselves. And maybe it was just because the Lord knew we were willing to put in the time, but he would show us someone and we would just go up to them and ask, have you ever thought about playing the bass or electric guitar or whatever it is that we needed? And some people would be shocked because they wondered how we knew that they did those things or that they wanted to. And, you know, some of them would just say no, or they really had never thought about it. But most of the time, the answer was yes. And so we had a church bass that we would pass around pretty freely, but sometimes we just told them what equipment to get, where to get some lessons, and then would get them involved pretty quickly. You know, a mentor of mine once said, the best help often comes untrained. So we weren't looking for the best bass player in the church. We looked for the right person and then taught them to play the bass as best as we knew how. Now, of course, with the internet, lessons are readily available and entry-level gear usually starts somewhere around $200. And that's enough to get you started and get you going. So as we wrap this up today, no matter how the Lord leads you to do it, the skill that you want to be good at is finding the right people and getting them trained. And I, you know, would like to say that once you know how to do that, you're going to have all the people that you would ever need. But the truth is that once you get good at finding people, God's going to increase your vision. And then you're going to need to recruit even more people to accomplish that. Well, that's all the time that we have for today. If there's anything that we can do for you, please don't hesitate to ask musicandministryconference@gmail.com. And you can view all of our resources at musicandministry.co. Well, until next time, have a fantastic week. And until then, God bless.